This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Well, yes, indeed, this is the start of Focus, and we're glad you're here with us at the beginning on this Monday, March 25th, 2024. Look at how the weather changes. We're used to it. We are Michiganians and also Michiganders, if you prefer. I don't care anymore. I choose either one because I grew up with both, being born and raised in Michigan. 50 degrees and windy. A high of 60 for today, which will be, at least they're saying right now, the warmest day of the week. The low today, 34. But I'll leave this up to Rich Luzinski and his team with our WJR Traffic and Weather First. Speaking of the team. Dave Rieger, our producer, Danielle Mason, pushing all the right buttons. David, I the weekend did not go the way we hoped it would with Coach Tom Izzo and MSU or Coach Greg Campy and Oakland University. Didn't go the way we would have liked it to go, David.
No. Oakland needed to win that game in regulation time. If it went to overtime, it was going to be tough. They needed to... And they didn't get a shot off in that last 12 seconds.
So. Here's what I was screaming, and I'm the guy who doesn't know anything, so I'm never guessing, second guessing. I'm just saying what I saw. In that situation, in regulation, you drive to the basket.
Yeah, I mean, they
one of three things can happen. You get a layup and win the game. You get a layup and a foul and win the game. You get fouled and have a chance to win the game. I don't understand why they did not immediately drive the key, just go in. Because,
well, you know, they called timeout, and that gave NC State to get into a defense. So if they had just let it play out, they might have been able to drive and try to end it with, you know, at the underneath. But I don't, they didn't get a shot off, you know. One that came out of their timeout, it didn't work out well. Yeah. Also, going to overtime, a lot of people, including myself, got messed up with the betting the under for the total. So thanks for that.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, am I glad I don't pay attention to any of that. If I bet, and it's rare, but if I do, it's win or lose.
Yeah.
You guys with your points and you're this and you're that, hopping on one leg and jumping upside down, no thanks, not for me.
So the overtime spelled disaster on both counts.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, and then Coach Izzo, MSU, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, they were up by 12, had a chance to go up 14 twice, and then North Carolina went on like a 25-3 run after that, and then the game was done. And it was over at that point.
I was proud of both teams for getting as far as they got.
Yeah.
I mean, the teams were not, I can't speak for Oakland, but MSU had a tough team this year, a tough year without any question.
Well, they were number four preseason ranked, and they just really, unfortunately, just never lived up to that. I don't think that Coach Izzo would consider it a great season by any means. They did get... win North Carolina, Duke, they've always given Michigan State problems. Lately, Michigan State has gotten the better of Duke a couple of times, but North Carolina in the tournament, they just always seem to have their number for some reason.
All right, very quickly, being a Michigan fan and grad, I suppose I'm supposed to be very happy that Ward Manuel got Dusty May.
Great hire.
Is it?
Yes.
Tell us. I know nothing.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, he was head coach at Florida, Athletic. You know, he was. They took him. He took them to FAU to the Final Four last year. I mean, he's a real good coach. I think it's a great hire for Michigan, and hopefully he can get things turned around quickly. With the transfer portal, I think you can.
So. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's good to know.
That's a good hire.
So something to be excited about. Yeah. The big news, just breaking now about a half an hour ago, former President Trump no longer has to pay a $454 million bond, which most people in the know said was totally ridiculous anyway. An appeals court has slashed it down to a $175 million payment to be made within 10 days. So that's a $279 million sale on a fraud case. He has 10 days to pay that. I suspect that he'll be able to. There were some people thinking they should have thrown out the bond altogether, but those are probably his people, not the other people. But the point is, that has happened. People who were on the edge of their seat and kind of gleefully waiting for his empire to be picked apart are going to have to wait a little bit longer. I haven't heard anything else. Is there anything else out about that yet?
No, I haven't heard anything. You
that's
have
just that's the very latest. Okay. Funny Chuck Todd. That's hilarious. All the NBC people protesting the hiring of Ronna McDaniels to be on their staff. I would say ignore every one of them unless they also protested the hiring of George Stephanopoulos at ABC back in the day. I mean, Ronna McDaniels is not nearly as involved as George Stephanopoulos, who worked in the Clinton White House, you all recall.
Right.
So if they complained about that while they were in grade school, then that's fine. I'll listen to their complaints about Ronna. But otherwise, Chuck Todd, can you imagine working for a company and then pooping all over the company nationwide on the airwaves they pay you millions of dollars to be on? No, I can't. Never have. Hopefully, I never will. I spoke to Art Tebow today. Remember, Art Tebow was born, even though it's the Kircher family, for years until the Kircher boys grew up, like Steve Kircher, who's doing a fabulous job running Boyne now, they just had their Big Sky anniversary. It was like, it's 50 years. 48 years they started putting it together. 50 years ago, it's Big Sky. They just put in a $60 million gondola. You remember Art Tebow was on, for those of you who don't, I'll remind you, we have the snow melt contest till the last inch of snow melted on Hemlock up at Boyne. So Art's doing well. He sends his love to everybody. He said when he was out and about at the airport, all the restaurants in Minneapolis, all of the restaurants, once you get past security, don't have anybody waiting on you. You get to a table, there's a little thing you put in on your camera, you know, those little boxes, and you get the menu, and you order on your phone, and you give them your credit card and your email and all of that, and that's that. They are doing away with the costs of human beings. And everyone's talking about AI and how that's going to change everything. It's already begun. It's already started. We didn't call it AI quickly enough. There are so many jobs that are going to go by the wayside because of technology. So many. Just make note of it here, March 25th, 2024. Other things going on here, out and about. What great news. By the way, I hope you're streaming us from everywhere, WJR.com, WJR app, Alexa. And, of course, find our shows at thegreatvoice.com. And it means a lot to us that you do find our interviews and our entire show at thegreatvoice.com. It does matter. Thank you for that. But what a great story about Dan Gilbert. I cannot believe it's been nearly 5 years ago that he suffered from the debilitating stroke. He was at this event Thursday morning, the annual Pancakes and Politics Breakfast, hosted by the Michigan Chronicle and moderated by businessman Dennis Archer, Jr. And the thing that Dan Gilbert says is very similar to what I say. Make each and every day count. Each day is a gift. Dan Gilbert, with all of the experiences he's gone through and all the pain and suffering, he says, the only thing I can say is just enjoy every day, every minute, and stay healthy. And, you know, we've heard more and more about strokes, and they're happening seemingly more and more, and they can happen with anyone at any age, at any standard circumstance, no matter where you come from. It can happen to you. He talked about being in treatment in Chicago at that stroke, well-known stroke rehabilitation place that he and his wife, Jennifer, are creating here in Detroit at the new Henry Ford Health System that we're going to build. And there will be that stroke company there, too, the best in the world. He said he was alongside, I think it was like an 18-year-old girl or something who'd had a stroke. I remember back in my college days, a friend was on his way to getting married to a young woman, and she had a stroke before the wedding. So it can happen to anyone at any time, anywhere. You just got to live each day, make it count, as we always say, and try to take the best care of yourself as you can. We've got a lot to talk about today and lots of good people who are going to help us do that. Glad you're with us here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. I don't want to forget, too, Detroit returning to investment-grade credit rating a decade after the historic bankruptcy. That is a big deal and not something that you see very often. Well, here we go again. They say it's finally over, well, at least until the next time, which is too often. Congress passing the final six spending bills needed to fund the government until September, after a short funding lapse early Saturday morning. It's a big package. We need a big guy to tell us all about it. That's the Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor, Ryan Schmelz. Happy Monday, Ryan.
Happy Monday, Paul.
$1.2 trillion. We heard it get halfway through last week. Now it's all the way through.
It is, yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning, I believe, is when the Senate finally passed this bill and got it through. So it was a marathon. We thought it might be anticlimactic, but it certainly wasn't. And we also got a motion to vacate out of it. So it's been, one of those bills that has led to a lot of chain reactions.
Now, it still has to go to the president's desk for signature. Are we still waiting for that?
He signed it.
He did sign it. Okay. So that's done. The vote marks this major moment on Capitol Hill, bringing to close what appears to be an annual problem where we keep saying, oh, the government's going to shut down. And there are more and more people say, good, shut it down. They don't mean to harm the soldiers and all the people who would not be paid. That's not what they're saying. They're just frustrated with the way this government in Washington, D.C. doesn't seem to work. And then you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene filing what they said was a surprise motion to oust Speaker Mike Johnson. We talked about that last week, that she was. And that's all they need. That's all the Republicans need. The old expression was, the only time they're not shooting themselves in the foot is when they're loading their gun.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is you have two members who voted to oust McCarthy. You have Tim Burchett, and you also have Matt Gaetz. You know, Matt Gaetz, I think, is even more notable because he's the person who, filed the initial motion to vacate McCarthy when he was Speaker of the House. Gaetz and Burchett both were taking questions from reporters, and they've said that they would not support it as of right now. And one of their fears is that if you oust Speaker McCarthy or Speaker Johnson, you're going to get Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat minority leader, as the Speaker of the House. Right. Gaetz believes that there are Republicans who would vote for him if Johnson gets ousted.
Yep. We talked about that last week, too. And you know, I would not be surprised if something that foolish happened with these Republicans. I kind of thrown my hands up in the air, don't understand how the Republican Party got that way. You should see the Republican Party here in Michigan. The new guys, as duly elected, get into office, and their office has been looted. There's nothing there that was supposed to be there in terms of the computers and the other things they need to try to run their party. So I don't know what it's – I honestly don't know what's going on with the Republicans, but it seems to be nationwide. At this point, that's all I can say. It seems.
I think it certainly depends on the state, obviously. Like, some states are just better run than others. You know, you look at the Republican Party in Florida and you think, like, wow, you know, Republicans seem to be unbeatable, you know. But then you go to a state like Michigan, where there's a lot of turmoil. There's been some rough election losses statewide. And the same thing goes for maybe a state like Arizona. So it really just depends on where you look.
It does, but. And you would think that Republicans would gather around to greatly support Florida and say, look what we can do when we do it our way. But they don't do that. They don't. The support is not generally by no means 100%.
I mean, you saw Governor DeSantis try to run on it for president, and he couldn't. It was effective in some places, but it just wasn't. He couldn't get the momentum. And if we're going to get into the 2024 election, I think there were other things that hindered DeSantis along the way that weren't just the Florida message. But there's a number of reasons why. When you look at some of these states where they've been successful and then others where they don't, I think it's always going to be, who do they elect at the top and who's got the best ground game.
Ryan Schmelz with us, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. So what's it like in the bullpen, Ryan, having what happened just a half an hour or so ago? Still morning time, now it's afternoon, but when the former President Trump, decided, no longer has to pay a $454 million bond after the appeals court slashed it down $279 million discount. So it's down to a $175 million payment to be made within 10 days. What are they saying in the bullpen about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're asking the wrong person. It's not really the best day to be asking that because nobody's here. Congress has left, so we're not really getting reactions in real time. And then a lot of our reporters in New York are usually handling that since it's right there, but. I would assume this is going to get a lot of play, obviously. Any time one of his legal proceedings makes any type of movement, it breaks news and gets a lot of attention. And, we were talking about 2024. In many ways, this was one of the reasons why some of the other candidates couldn't catch any fires because they just weren't getting any press attention. Donald Trump ate it all up, whether it was good press or bad press. But the reality is that he was in the spotlight. He still remains in the spotlight, and he still dominates the spotlight.
Donald Trump has always been given the spotlight willingly by the institutional national media. This goes back 1985 when I was working in New York. If he called a press conference, everybody jumped. And he was not the only developer in New York City, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Yet he always got it. It proved that we love in this country to put people on pedestals so that we can then gleefully knock them off the pedestal. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump hasn't invited much of his trouble. He certainly has. But it's ridiculous and so obviously aimed at him now out of fear that if he gets a chance to be elected or not elected by the people of these United States, which is the way it's supposed to be, people are supposed to be able to choose who they can vote for, not a court. They're very worried about him winning, period.
Yeah, no, and I think, kind of one of the questions I keep pondering about this 2024 election cycle is, certainly we see the polling right now, and Donald Trump certainly has benefited, and it looks like he's got some, polling numbers that would make the campaign positive, and, RFK might play into that too when he's on some of these polling ballots too. I think the big question is when Donald Trump is going to be on television more, when he starts going to these campaign speeches and, a lot of the media has refused to maybe show some of his stuff and maybe not air his campaign speeches. But when the media is going to be forced to do that again, when we get into the heart of election season, how is that going to play with voters out there, the independents, and maybe some weary Democrats? Are they going to be encouraged to vote for Trump, or are they going to be reminded of why they wanted him out in the first place? I think that's one of the burning questions.
I think it's so great when, one of those other lesser networks says, the reason we're not running the president's speech is because it's our intent to not run information that is not completely correct or true. We leave that up to our reporters. Oh, that's the part they don't add to it. All right.
Yeah.
Ryan, thanks much. Always appreciate your help. Ryan.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Ryan Schmelz on a Monday, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. But it's true, isn't it? Well, we don't run things that we know are not true. Well, of course, excepting for our reporters who get to do that all the time, like saying that, it's going to be a bloodbath. The president claimed there'd be a bloodbath if he wasn't elected, without telling the truth and the whole story or showing the entire statement. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that think they saw the entire statement. That's just wrong, folks. Eventually, that's going to catch up. I hope, as we continue. Focus with Paul W. Smith, Monday, WJR. So glad you're with us here on 760 WJR. You can stream us real easy from anywhere. Quality's great. It's great to be able to stay in touch if you're traveling or just down the block or at the office or at home or in the car. You can stream us from everywhere. WJR.com, WJR app, Alexa, all those different ways you do it. And then go to thegreatvoice.com and hear the show in its entirety. Thegreatvoice.com. If you missed the show, can't be here noon to 2. Or if you want to hear some interviews again, which I hope that you will, we appreciate it, as you join us on WJR. Well, I read this story over the weekend. It kind of made me sick to my stomach. Residents of mobile home parks across Michigan say they are fed up with higher rent fees and are asking the state legislature to do something about it. But in Lansing, the bills which could offer relief to residents are stuck and may never see real discussion. Of course, our WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne is going to shine a bright light and take a closer look. Good afternoon, Marie.
Hi, Paul. And the rents are just the start of this. There are a number of reasons people make a decision to live in a mobile home. Some are using it as a stepping stone to more traditional home ownership. Some are older people on a fixed income. Still others are individuals who have no other housing options due to limited incomes. Advocates say manufactured housing is quickly becoming unaffordable, though. The reason? Private equity firms are buying up these parks, and then they raise the rents. There are cases where it's unclear who owns the lots, and that makes it easier for maintenance problems to go unaddressed. We'll have more on that in just a second. So a lot of residents here in Michigan are banding together to back a package of bills which would ramp up licensing requirements for owners and create some transparency around who's buying these mobile home communities. The Senate bills would give LARA, that's the Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, which is the agency, by the way, that oversees the mobile home parks, more enforcement power. There are over 1,000 licensed manufactured housing communities in the state. Half of the licensed owners, though, are located out of state. In addition to rising rents, though, residents say they're not being heard when they try to lodge complaints about health and safety issues. We're talking about garbage that's not picked up, raw sewage spills, poor lighting, rat infestations, and Jeez. The list goes on. City and state departments that were told that they don't have jurisdiction over these mobile home parks. And in terms of this legislation, here's where we stand. The Michigan Manufactured Housing Association, they represent about 650 homeowners and builders. They opposed the Senate bills, these Senate bills. The group said that bills would easily impose rent control. That's a practice banned, of course, in Michigan. Also, State Representative Bill Schutte from Midland said that the best solution to a lack of affordable housing is not new legislation, but instead facilitating efforts to increase the housing stock here in Michigan. Paul, 5 bills are now in the State Senate Housing and Human Services Committee.
Now, what is
That's
Bill?
Where they are.
What is Bill Schutte doing? What, say that again. What's his involvement?
Well, he's a state rep, and this is the state rep from Michigan.
This is his son. Okay, this is the Schutte.
Yes,
okay.
Bill right, G. Okay. Sorry, Bill G. Schutte. Bill
okay,
G.
Good.
Schutte.
Alrighty.
And he said that, you know, instead of tackling it with this legislation, we should just have more affordable housing. But for a lot of people, this, you know, this is a good answer for their problems. And remember, in a mobile home park, you own the mobile home. But it sits on property that you rent.
Yeah, that's just a recipe for disaster long term. I got to tell you, this was a sickening story, especially the raw sewage that was in people's backyards. Now, the people who own the mobile homes will say, well, these people live like pigs. They don't even keep it clean in that area. Part of that may be true in some areas. Some places people may have just thrown in the towel because they can't stay on top of it because whenever there are problems, no one's fixing them based on what you just said. It's hard to find out who even owns the property. But here's something that I think is also a recipe for disaster, Marie Osborne. There are 1,032 licensed manufactured housing communities in Michigan. That's over 1,000 of these, what we used to call mobile home parks. Now they call them manufactured housing communities. Do you know that half of the licensed owners are located out of Michigan?
Yes,
that's ridiculous. I had
said that in the report, that they are located outside of the state. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to reiterate it. That's an unbelievable statistic, which leads to people not caring at all what their property is like or doing, as long as the checks keep coming in. And that's what's happening when you get all of these money guys who are buying these up. Just as I've warned people, they're buying up heating and air conditioning companies and keeping the family name on them when the family's long gone, and any number of other things. These big money people are buying things, and as I said then, I'll say again, all they care about is the money continuing. They're not really on top of how well the companies do or anything else, and in this case, how livable the land is, as long as they can get bodies on it.
Right. And, you know, they're not, first of all, they're not all like this. There are some that, you know, really are in tune with their residents and what they need. But some of the residents were saying that it used to be that there were on-site maintenance people, so that if you had a problem, you knew you'd knock on a door somewhere and you'd say, okay, I have this problem, and it would be addressed. And with these out-of-state owners, that's just not the case anymore. They've kind of done away with that.
Yeah, I would bet that before, maybe long before, private equity firms got involved, which is never a good thing. We know that from personal experience. We've seen it with businesses we've been involved with, heck, in this radio station. But that aside, I bet in the best communities, manufactured home communities, there was a manager on site. And they probably got to live there for free if they took on the responsibility of being the manager. But the private equity firms don't care about the service they're giving. So they got rid of that because that was another home they could rent and make money off of.
Right.
I bet
mm-hmm.
you. I bet
exactly. you. Exactly. Exactly. So not only do the rates of rent get raised when these companies take over and there's new ownership, but then so many things just go unaddressed. And the people who live in these communities certainly deserve better than this.
Well, it's a shame. It's a shame when you tell the story and others tell the story of one specific place for older adults in Rochester Hills, that they think this is going to be their final home and they can afford it. They're going to be fine. And then the prices just keep going up and up and up.
At my trailer park, our rent gets raised $30 every year, which doesn't seem like a lot. But when I moved in there, I was paying $300 a month for my lot rent. And now I'm at $600.
That's just crazy.
It's
the
ridiculous.
The story in the newspaper was
double.
A woman paying more than $700 every month, up 57% since she moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not getting $30 worth of anything, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
yeah.
not. They don't do anything. The only thing that they do is ruin my lawn because they put the snow, they shovel the snow onto my grass, and then my whole grass gets uprooted. They do maintenance fixes that they don't tell anyone about, which is very inconvenient, because if you're not telling us that you're coming by, how are we supposed to, like, keep our dogs inside? Or how are we supposed to move the items that are on our lawn so that you don't get in the way? Comcast has literally come to my house with the park's approval and ripped, I'm talking a moat, all the way around my house. I had no idea it was happening. There was just one day I just come home from work and there is a trench in my yard. Had no idea. Nothing. There's so much I can't even. You can't get me started on this.
No, I'm sorry, Danielle, but now you have Marie on your side and me too. So let's not let these things happen. Let us know. Let us make calls. And the one thing they probably fear, and maybe they don't because they don't even live in Michigan, many of them, mm-hmm. they would fear the bright light on them showing that they're horrific owners. And maybe that would matter. I'm afraid more and more it doesn't matter to people, especially if they don't. If half of them are from outside of Michigan, that's alarming in itself.
Mine is outside of Michigan, and it's very inconvenient because they are located outside of Michigan. The fire department has no actual approval to come into the park and help with anything, and the water department.
What?
So it's weird and it doesn't make sense. But so I had a water main break at my house and I called the city. The city is allowed to come and inspect, but you have to get someone from the park to do it first. They have to approve it. There's no
Is
one.
Is there a manager on location?
No, nope, there's no manager on my lot anywhere. So in order for approval, it has to go to whatever state that has bought my park. And if they're not awake at that time, if their hours don't coincide with my hours, then how there's no approval. So if my house was on fire, for instance, they would have to try and get in touch with someone who is in a completely different state to approve that the fire department is allowed to come into my park and put out the fire.
Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
The problems that we talk about often are problems that our family deals with. Danielle Mason, thanks for speaking up. And let's not let this just go. I think Marie has been in touch with a lot of people, and I certainly can be in touch with a lot of people to try to help you and the other members of your manufactured home community. Thank you, Marie, for bringing it to our attention.
Thank
WJR
you.
Senior News Analyst Marie Osborne taking a closer look and driving our Danielle Mason into speaking up. And God bless her for that. As we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. You know, I know I've been critical of the Republican Party. I have been across the country, in Washington, in Lansing, wherever we are. But I really have a lot of hope for the Michigan Republican Party because of the new chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, Pete Hoekstra. I've known Pete for a long time. He's been very good at all the things that he has done. And so I thought, this is great. He's going to get in there, and he's going to turn things around. That is before I knew that he was being handed an office that was virtually looted before he got there. And I'm sure it was a bit of a shock to you, Pete, as well.
Yeah. Paul, it says more about the people that we inherited the office from than it does about us. Okay? I mean, you'd like to think that we're all, at least in some ways, rowing and going in the same direction, but obviously that's not true. But, hey, I used to work for an office furniture company. I know where we can get some furniture at a discount.
Good for you. What about those computers? I was wondering if you needed people who are supportive of the Republican Party, if you needed some of them to start trying to offer you, donate some computers. Is it that bad?
It's bad, but it's not that bad. I mean, you know, and I think the number was, the party supposedly bought $133,000 of technology, computers, and those kinds of things. And, those are tangible elements, right? You can pick them up and hold them, and now you can't find them. And so, they can be replaced.
It takes money. It takes money. I thought you walked into a situation where they were in negative numbers in terms of money.
Well, that's true, too. So, Paul, you just got to kind of have a smile on your face. The vast majority of people in the party have been so supportive. You know, the leadership of the party, they took the personal risk of voting out the last, the last leadership thing. They've worked their, they worked their butt off to accomplish that goal and put the Republican Party moving in the right direction. We are moving in the right direction. But, when you see some of this stuff, you just recognize, God, that Pete, that hole was a little deeper than what you thought it was going to be when you jumped into it. We're going to be okay. Okay. We're going to have great candidates. We've got a great message. People across the state are frustrated with what's happening in Washington. They're frustrated with what's coming out of Lansing. And, we're going to have, talking about where we're going to go in the automobile industry, we're going to get off of this religious zeal to go with electric vehicles where the technology is not just ready for prime time, that cars.
Nor do the majority of people want to go through that.
Right. They don't want them. Okay. you've got people getting hammered by inflation. Washington says, inflation numbers are coming down. It's like, well, maybe the rate of growth is slowing down, but Yep. Gas is still expensive and groceries are still expensive. Those prices aren't coming down. And so, you know, we have, we've got a lot of things moving in our favor. We just, this initial climb, getting out of the hole is a little steeper than what we expected, but you know, you can't let it consume you. You know, you just say, okay, it is what it is. You go out and tell people what the, you know, what kind of help we need. And like I said, I've just been thoroughly encouraged by the number of people and the type of support that they are showing, for what we are trying to get done.
Pete, we were told early on that you were receiving in this so-called transition zero cooperation from some of the supporters of the former chairwoman. Is that still the case?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's, you know, we were down in, and I don't think Mark would, you know, care if I mention this, but, you know, last week we were down in Trump International meeting with the president and his political director. And Mark Fortin was there. Mark is the chairman of the Macomb County Republican Party. All right. Mark had been a staunch supporter of Christina Caramo, but he was also a key player in removing her from office. And Mark is 100% on board with the new Republican Party and the our agenda in electing Republicans from top to bottom. And so we've got a lot of those folks who have stepped on board. But, you know, the people that were in the headquarters building, you know, that control the passwords and the access links and those kinds of things that had the computers sitting in front of them. Yeah, they have not been very cooperative. OK, computers are gone. Passwords we haven't gotten. But we're going to get this done. We're going to get it done.
All right. You're the guy. I mean, I absolutely support you 1,000% in your position. I know that if anyone can do it, Pete Hoekstra, you can do it. Thanks for being with us, Pete.
Hey, thank you. You're way too kind.
Pete Hoekstra, chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, trying to pick up the pieces. As we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith right here on WJR. So happy to be with you. I hope your weekend was great. It didn't turn out the way we hoped it would for MSU or Oakland University, but still very proud of the teams, very proud of the coaches, Tom Izzo, Greg Campy, for getting as far as they did. That is an accomplishment. Let's not forget that. But it, as we say, didn't turn out exactly the way we hoped. Weather is turning out better, certainly 60 degrees expected for the day. We started at noon at 50. Windy conditions. I think this may be the warmest day of this week, at least, or so it would seem. Have you started streaming us? I hope you will, from anywhere and everywhere. WJR.com, the WJR app, Alexa, wherever you stream. And then, of course, get thegreatvoice.com and hear the entire show, especially if you can't be here noon to 2 every day. You can go to thegreatvoice.com and get our show every day, and I hope indeed you will do that. The team is here. Dave Rieger, producer Danielle Mason, pressing all the right buttons. Rich Lozinski with our WJR traffic and weather first on this windy Monday, March 25th. Hey, how about the good news? Detroit returning to investment grade credit. The mayor talked about that Friday. Obviously, very excited about that. Maybe we'll get the mayor on to explain once again exactly what that means. We were here when it went down, when it went bad with bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera. And now to come all the way back to investment grade is quite a feat indeed. You heard by now that former President Trump does not have to pay a $454 million bond. They put it on sale for him. An appeals court slashed it. $279 million. It's quite a sale. To a $175 million bond payment to be made within 10 days. Now, there are still those who say there should be no bond, there are no victims in this crime, and it becomes very obvious with all of the work against Donald Trump, even when he opens his mouth and sticks his foot in it and causes more trouble for himself, it's still ridiculous what's going on and obvious. They just don't want the American people to have the opportunity to vote for him if that's what they like to do, and that's just wrong. All right, a couple of quick things. I'll ask Dave, Danielle, or Rich, and Rich, you'll have to speak up because I can't see you and know what you feel or don't feel. But Have any of you, had any of you, I guess, better way of putting it, seen the Northern Lights last night? Because they were apparently, possibly, depending on our cloud cover, they were possibly seen last night and possibly seen tonight, the Aurora Borealis, possible throughout all of our great state of Michigan. Anybody?
I didn't Nobody's... see it.
I did not.
No? Oh, nice. All right. Well, try again, and good for you to speak with your late mother whenever you can. And it's good for you to know that and feel that, Rich, as we were all there at the celebration of her life. All right. But I'm going to veer off that now and say you might see the Northern Lights tonight. There's another opportunity. Movies. I want to mention the movies. Do you know what movie was number one? Dave Rigger, you saw it.
Ghostbusters.
Yep. Ghostbusters back on top of the box office. The sequel, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, grabbed the number one spot with $45 million in its opening weekend. I felt that there's so many people who love the original Ghostbusters, and I didn't even realize there were how many other Ghostbusters were there, Dave?
Well, let's see. There were two of the original ones. And then there was the one with the all-female cast. And then there's been, is this five, Rich? Rich would know better, probably.
Five?
That, yeah.
Wow. Well, does that mean if you've got a fifth remake of a movie, Ghostbusters in this case, and Dune Part 2 was second with $17.6 million, followed by Kung Fu Panda 4, in third with 16 points. Does this mean we're never going to get any new movies from this day on?
I think Hollywood is relying on the fact that everybody loves nostalgia. And so these movies do very well. I mean, look.
Oh. It is a safe bet. I didn't know that. So if you buy the rights to do a movie, if you make the deal the right way, you are also saying, okay, and if there are any sequels, we get those rights too?
Yeah, sometimes they're even contractually obligated to do that. Yeah. All the Marvel movies, I think, they're obligated to do that. Robert Downey Jr. had to sign up for like 10 movies.
Oh, for Iron Man? Yeah. I mean, look how good Top Gun Maverick did when it came out, and that was like 30 years later.
Well, but it was a very well done sequel.
Oh, it was
that's
great.
Sure.
It was great. I hope they make another one.
So maybe they're now more serious about the sequels rather than saying, well, people are going to show up because it's a sequel and they like the first one, so we don't have to do as much in this one. I mean, I think that some of the sequels are every bit as good as the original film.
That's hard to do.
That never used to be the case.
Exactly. Sometimes the sequel is never as good as the original. There's been a few franchises where the sequels have done better than the original, in my opinion. Godfather, Rocky, Die Hard. So, you know, yeah. Yes, it was. Yes,
I'll step back and let them argue about this point.
I'll save everyone. Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry
all
Potter.
Of those that were better was, than oh, the first.
All of them were great, I thought.
Star Wars.
I wouldn't pick one better. What's that?
Star Wars,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, so now we've settled that. yeah, me too. Hey, did you just hear that, speaking of governors who wanted to run for president, had done a nice job in Florida and yet didn't get any support, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just signed a bill that bans children younger than 14 years from holding social media accounts in Florida. First of all, is it possible to enforce that?
Nope.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, good luck. How are you going to enforce that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The legislation also requires 14 and 15-year-olds to obtain parental approval to hold accounts on social media platforms that employ algorithms and have certain addictive features, which would be all of them.
Yeah. Listen, I am convinced that your Your phone listens to what you are talking about.
Oh, no doubt.
And then it gets built into the algorithm for your social media account. I mean, Danielle and I talk about this all the time. We have proof from the discussions that we might have, and then it shows up on your social media account.
It's true.
Yeah.
It does. All of a sudden, ads for people that sell what you want show up.
Yeah. And they're very good at what they do.
Here's another statement. The internet has become a dark alley for our children where predators target them, and dangerous social media leads to higher rates of depression, self-harm, and even suicide. I think he's right. This is Florida House Speaker Paul Renner, a Republican.
Yeah.
He says, thanks to Governor DeSantis' signature, Florida leads the way in protecting children online as states across the country fight to address these dangers. Well, good luck to them.
You want
to
know what I think might be interesting? If instead of you was signing up and just putting like an email or and a password, if they wanted to really crack down on this, you have to put your license, your state ID number or something in there. I know that's not like it wouldn't work, but like for kids who are under 18, if you want to be able to use these things, then you have to put this in.
But they wouldn't have that.
Exactly.
They might have an ID card.
When they're 16, they might have a license.
That's true too. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Well, somebody's got to do something because it clearly is running amok. And as we wait around and start to get beat up by AI, which is starting already to happen, we got to do something about all this other stuff. Quick note from Adrian Woodland. Adrian Woodland, AAA. Gas prices in Michigan down 7 cents from last week. Michigan drivers are now paying an average of $3.57 per gallon for regular unleaded. That's 32 cents more than the last time, or rather than this time last month, 18 cents more than this time last year, but 7 cents down a week. When did gas become such an incredibly watched commodity that since it started costing us 50 bucks to fill our tank, I guess, 50
I don't know.
It's
so weird because gas is, you got to get to where you got to get to. So it's like you got to pay what you have to pay.
And we do.
Yeah.
But it does cause trouble, and it causes trouble for different trouble for different people, depending on how much they make or don't make. That's the reality there. All right. A lot going on today. We've got lots to talk about. We're going to welcome Marie back with some stories in the news. Princess Kate, what a horrible story all the way around that social media would force her into having to speed up telling her children that she had cancer. Basically, that's what happened. Candidate for U.S. Senate, Mike Rogers, will be checking in, and lots more here. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Well, in a to me, very sad moment, it's a big deal. I guess it's unavoidably a big news deal when, in the public statement released over the weekend, Kate, sitting on a bench, the Princess of Wales, told us that she was in the midst of fighting cancer. She and her husband, Prince William, say they're extremely moved by the public's warmth and support following her cancer announcement last week. Among those who've shown support, President Biden and, of course, King Charles, her father-in-law, who's also undergoing treatment for cancer. Our WJR senior news analyst, Marie Osborne, has more on what's been unfolding in the United Kingdom. Marie?
And Paul, after weeks of frenzied and in some cases outrageous rumors and speculation, the statement over the weekend from the prince and princess seemed to tamp down some of the headlines. Through a spokesperson for Kensington Palace, the statement said the prince and princess were, quote, enormously touched by the kind messages from the people of here in the UK, across the Commonwealth, and around the world. The 42-year-old princess said in a video message last week she was undergoing preventative chemotherapy for cancer following major abdominal surgery in January. The term preventative chemotherapy is sometimes used to describe chemo treatment given after the initial cancer is removed, either through surgery or radiation. In this case, for the princess, it was through surgery. And it's often used following surgery for breast, ovarian, or colon cancer, but not exclusively for those cancers. Until Friday, officials had only said that Kate's surgery in January was successful and her recuperation would keep the princess out of the public duties until April. This sparked a flurry of rumor mongering about, quote, the missing future queen. It was compounded after Kate acknowledged that she had altered an official photo released to mark Mother's Day in the UK earlier this month. There's been widespread criticism for those who promoted the Where is Kate speculation, including the American actor Blake Lively, Kim Kardashian, and late-night host Stephen Colbert. One UK political commentator who got on the bandwagon said over the weekend, quote, as someone who speculated on this without considering it could be a serious health condition, I'm very ashamed, to be honest, and wish her all the best.
Good there for has him. Been speculation. Who was that? Who? I want to say kudos to that person for being honest, because it was shameful. Who was that? Do you know?
I am going to give you his name momentarily. I don't have it right here in front of me. It's going to take me a second to.
I won't know it, I'm sure. If he's some pundit from over there. I don't keep track of those guys.
Yeah, I'll get it for you, Paul. And I just wanted to just say there's been speculation. You'll enjoy this. There's been speculation that bots from hostile nations may have contributed to the outrageous social media speculation about Kate.
Oh my! I don't traffic in all that, but I hear it. People say, "Did you hear that William's having an affair with somebody else?" And all of this stuff. I don't know how all of that garbage comes up from somebody who's clearly in pain and suffering. We don't know why, nor is it our business. And I said at the time, my goodness, if it's something serious, she doesn't want it to come out in a press release or on television or whatever, because she's got a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old that she needs to handle and protect them. And they would have found out if that came out right in the beginning. And so she needed the time to take care of Prince George, who's 10, Princess Charlotte, who's 8, and Prince Louis, who's 5. And I just thought it was shameful the way people were pushing and making her make this decision. And she looked, when I saw the picture that became questioned, and I have no idea where the changes were. The only thing that I said at the time on the air was that her face looked brighter than the kids' faces. And as it turns out, that apparently is one of the things she changed, because we saw her on that bench. Didn't you feel bad? She looked gaunt and pale, and she looked like somebody in the midst of chemotherapy.
She definitely looked very drawn. And, I mean, of course, she's absolutely beautiful. There's no question about that. But she could tell that she had obviously undergone some kind of ordeal and that she was ill. You know, some people would argue that the royal family is, of course, you know, they're being paid by the people of the UK. So that's basically how they, you know, that's how they're being sustained. So a lot of people feel this, that they have a right to, you know some of this that's going on. And that's kind of going to be the, you know, the tension in this story is people's right to know versus their right to medical privacy.
Well, I'm on the side of medical privacy. I just am. You bring up a good point. They are underwritten and work for, if you could put it that way. I don't know if people ever really put it that way about the royals, but they are underwritten by the people. And but that's like saying, and we do demand it, but we don't always get it, the medical condition of some of our presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of defense, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of them like to keep their medical issues private. I don't know what to say. It felt very uncomfortable to me that she was clearly forced into doing what she did to try to tamp down the firestorm that has been underway ever since she kind of disappeared.
Right. And it, you know, it occurred right after there was news that there was an investigation underway because they think that someone, an employee, may have tampered with her medical files at the hospital where she was treated. So I don't know if they thought maybe that this would come out in some way and that they felt they had to do this. It's hard to know. It's just very hard to know. Although, you know, every one of us who's had a serious medical condition or a problem and you want to keep it to yourself while you try to work it through, this is that times a thousand.
Yeah, it sure is. And frankly, I think they were right. I think they were right in knowing that the clock was ticking, and there are too many people who knew, the people who worked at the hospital, and then to hear the rumors that somebody's trying to get the hospital records, I think for them to control the story, they had to come out and give most of the story. They still haven't said where she was, whether it was ovarian, colon, or breast nope. cancer, and that's their right, obviously, not to get any deeper. And now the little kids, Prince George, Princess Charlotte, Prince Louis, are now aware that their mother has been very ill, but she's going to get better. And that's what you hope to be able to control in any family. Because, yes, they're the royals, but they are human beings. And we have a tendency to not remember that about, well, everybody, politicians, celebrities, anybody who's in the news, on their television set, or even on their radio, are still just human beings and suffer the same problems that everybody suffers. You just deal with them maybe a different way, and if you have a lot of money, you deal with them a different way. Although, look what we learned earlier when we were hearing that Dan Gilbert was speaking up 5 years after his stroke. He's saying basically what we say every day: make each and every day count. Thank you, Marie, for sending this along. Blake Lively and Owen Jones apologizing for Kate Middleton conspiracy jokes. Really? I wouldn't have seen anything to joke about, no matter what was going on there. All right, moving on, turning the page. This from Josh Krushar. If you ever question the value of President Donald Trump's endorsement in a Republican primary, question no more. Republican U.S. Senate frontrunner Mike Rogers went from a field-leading 27% support among GOP primary voters to 67% after respondents were told the former president is backing Rogers, a former member of Congress from Livingston County, our good old friend who does this for a living and follows all of these things, has never seen Steve Mitchell, is who I'm talking about. Steve Mitchell, Mitchell Research Communications, says he's never seen a 40-point bounce. He says, quote, Donald Trump absolutely has the strongest hold of the party that I've ever seen, and that includes Ronald Reagan, and he worked for Reagan in 84, and I introduced Ronald Reagan at an event in 1984, and I have not ever looked at it that way, but I can tell you this. I've been all about Mike Rogers since I first met him and followed all of the great things he's done, and I'm here to congratulate him now, up 62% in the primary election following President Trump's endorsement. Mike, congratulations. What can I say?
Paul, thank you. I think he must have listened to you saying, hey, he screwed up when he didn't hire me as FBI director. And I think this is his.
I've never forgiven him for that. Great. He's never forgiven me for a couple of things, and we're kind of at a standoff like that. But there is no question you were the right guy to head the FBI, and had he made you the head of the FBI, instead of that foolishness about, well, he wasn't rough on Hillary Clinton. What the hell does that mean? So he bought himself all of the problems he's had now with the FBI. But let's not go backwards. Let's go forward. He picks you. That is a blessing that turns into a lot of numbers these days. And did everyone, when you came out and said you were supporting Trump, which, of course, he loved, and therefore he returned the favor. But there are other people who were supporting him he could have returned the favor for, but he went to you, and for good reason. Did you get much gas about this from anybody? I mean, you can prove to them now why it was a good thing to do, but did you get anyone who said, why did you do that? You could have gone through this without doing that.
You know, it really came down to two things, Paul. Donald Trump is going to be on the ballot with Joe Biden. And there is no clearer picture of a difference in 4 years than comparing both of those statistics. And so, no, it wasn't hard for me. We are aligned on fixing the border. We are aligned on this crime wave that's coming across the country, including, by the way, drug cartel gangs operating in Michigan. We're aligned on Making sure that your groceries are affordable. We're aligned on EV mandates and what it's going to do to us and put us in our future economy in the hands of the Chinese. So, you know, I really, what people are, you know, seem shocked. Well, listen, I mean, if people talk bad about Donald Trump in the past, like Ron DeSantis endorsed the president. Because a family fight is different than fighting against for the future of the country and how we have to move forward. And to me, there is just no clearer difference in the world than Donald Trump policy that's good for your personal economics than it is Joe Biden's.
Well, I'm afraid there's no question about that, even though you'll get it questioned and people will fight us on that and say there's nothing wrong with President Biden. They don't see any cognitive issues because it's impossible not to. But be that as it may, with your significant lead over your primary opponents and the people that have been thought to be certainly as critical endorsements, we had former Detroit Police Chief James Craig on singing your praises. Candace Miller, several law enforcement and small business organizations other than James Craig, Congressman Tim Walberg. I mean, the list goes on and on. There are a lot of people who know you well, as do I, who are singing your praises and looking forward to you being back in Washington and having a say over all the things that are going on and will be going on.
Yeah, no, thank you. And it was great. And people are kind of rallying around the poll. And listen, I get it. It's never easy for these other primary opponents because they thought that they had a pathway to win the nomination. They just don't. And it's time. You know, we've already had discussions with the Trump campaign folks about how we're going to work together on really the unsexy things of a campaign, but the important things: get out the vote, ballot integrity, all of those things. And I do think, you know, building that infrastructure, which we already started, which I think impressed the president that where we were on our structural, hey, we got to do these things in order to win in November. This is all about winning in November. Primary doesn't matter if we can't win in November. And so, I mean, it matters, obviously, but I mean, if we're only focused on that and not focused on putting the pieces together to win in November, we're making a mistake. And so all of those people jumping on board helps because those networks become our, you know, become part of our networks. And it just continues to grow both in size and support, which is why that jump was so significant. People, I think that put a lot of people's mind at rest where we were with Donald Trump, by Donald Trump saying, yeah, I heard all the nonsense. It's all nonsense. I'm for you. Perfect. That's great. Now we're moving out. We're putting things together to win in November. And so those endorsements really important. You know, when you get the chiefs of police in Southeast Michigan, their networks becomes important. Chief Craig, huge endorsement for us. Clearly no one bigger than Donald J. Trump's endorsement here for the state of Michigan. So things are tracking, and now we have a 60-point lead. You know, my argument is maybe I hope people at least reconsider about hanging around, but, you know, we're going to continue to run like we're 1,000 votes behind. That's the only way I know how to do it. And we'll cross finish line in August, and we're going to be in a shape for a good sprint until the general election.
Congressman Mike Rogers would like to become Senator Mike Rogers, and there are a lot of people who feel that way. Go to rogersforsenate.com, rogersforsenate.com. Quick answer, were you surprised or just pleased to see former President Trump no longer has to pay $454 million? It's down to $175 million payment to be made within 10 days.
I thought that whole case was crazy. No victim, no crime, nobody lost money. I do not understand. If that isn't lawfare, I don't know what is. We all should be worried about that kind of a decision.
Candidate for United States Senate, Mike Rogers, rogersforsenate.com. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Best to Kim.
Best to Christy. Thank you, sir, as we continue on WJR. And listen, and I am so thankful for that. We get to talk to a lot of people you get to hear from. And you can stream us from anywhere and everywhere, WJR.com, WJR app, Alexa, wherever. And then go to thegreatvoice.com to hear interviews you heard and need to hear again, or tell your family and friends. They can listen to the whole show. If they can't be here noon to two, they can listen to the whole show at thegreatvoice.com. And I hope that you will. Well, I Mint, I make notes over the weekend. I watch all these different shows, get all this different information. Thanks to Keith Newell, great listener who always is paying attention. I've always talked about CBS Sunday Morning. Jane Pauley is now the host. It is a very well-done show. It catches up everything that's been going on. So if you only watch one show on Sunday morning, CBS Sunday Morning, I think, is the one. And this was one of the factoids they had. Think of this. In 1948, President Harry Truman complained about a do-nothing Congress. And in 2 years, that so-called do-nothing Congress passed more than 900 pieces of legislation. And he was angry. He said they hadn't done enough. In 2 years, 900 pieces of legislation passed. The do-nothing Congress. Well, you've heard me railing about this. Now let me give you the facts. The nation's current 118th Congress passed 27 bills in its first year. That was 900 back in 1948, and President Truman was calling them a do-nothing Congress. Our do-nothing Congress really has done nothing. 27 bills in their first year. They're on track to be the least productive Congress since the Great Depression. Can you believe that, Chris Renwick? Chris getting ready, ankles taped, loins girded, girding his loins for JR Afternoon coming up right after the news next. But, I mean, we've said they were doing nothing. We've said they were spending a lot of time on stuff that had nothing to do with their jobs and making our lives better, which is why we send them to Washington. But that's ridiculous.
Did you say they've only passed 27 bills?
Yes.
27?
In the Congress in 1948, in their first 2 years, passed more than 900 pieces of legislation, and that caused President Harry Truman to call them the do-nothing Congress. 900,
wow.
More than 900, and these guys in their first year did 27 bills.
That is shockingly low.
It is also, it's
low.
Emblematic, it is a sign, rather than emblematic, it is a sign of what we've been saying as talk show hosts. These people are doing nothing regarding what they got hired to do. They're not doing anything for that, which is to pass bills that make our lives better, and they're not doing it. They're spending all this time patting themselves on the back that they kept the government open again. I mean, give me a break.
Well, it's because when they get elected, they go play games. They go play the political game. And as much as I would love, and I think we all would love and romanticize this idea that we elect these people, they go and they do the job of their constituents, that's just not the reality. The reality is when they get to Washington, D.C., two things happen in my mind. A, they start playing these political games and they start backing in their own corner. And it's just tribalistic once you get there.
Well, once you get there, you spend all your time making sure you get back.
And lining your pockets.
Right. And, I mean, if you read all these congresspeople who make, I don't know what their base salary is, but it isn't enough for them to become multimillionaires, and yet most of them or many of them become multimillionaires. Somebody eventually is going to say something's rotten in Denmark or Washington, D.C. The attack, the incredibly cowardly attack on people in Moscow who were in for a concert, and the over 100 and, I don't know, 30, 43, I don't know what it is. It's a horrific number of people that were killed, a horrific number of people who have been injured and will die, is unbelievable for that attack. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility, but Putin wants it to be Ukraine, so he has an excuse to really amp it up on Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious, it's ridiculous. But here's the amazing thing. They say they have, I don't know, 11 people detained, including the four gunmen.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading in another story that it said that the maximum those four gunmen could receive would be life in prison. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If Vladimir Putin does not kill these guys, maybe even in the public square, then he's lost it. That's not the Vladimir Putin we know.
No,
I mean, he kills the guys that are running against him easily. He's not going to kill four guys that killed 143 or whatever the last number is, people.
I'm sure they'll meet a very unfortunate fate in one of their hard labor camps.
I hope they meet a very a very unfortunate fate that causes them to die slowly.
Oh, well, one of them slipped on some goulash in the lunchroom. Oopsie. What happened? We don't know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be something.
I'm glad you brought this up. Can I throw one other thing into the discussion?
Please.
Here? So this whole thing where the United States intelligence told Russia that an attack was imminent. The United States knew that there was an attack not only being planned, but it had legs. It was legitimate. And all Russia did was thumb their nose at it. It tells me two things. A, Russia's intelligence is very poor, and they just don't want the United States at all involved with their intelligence to the detriment of these 100-plus people that have died. It's despicable.
It is despicable, and it shows also, I mean, we've learned a lot when we thought Ukraine wouldn't have a chance against Russia. Who would have guessed they'd still be standing 2 years later? Nobody.
Mm-mm.
We thought, oh, Russia will just, they'll wipe them off the face of the earth. So we've learned a lot, haven't we?
And maybe a bit of a paper house. I don't know.
I don't know either. The emperor has no clothing. I don't know if that fits or not, but I just thought. I thought I would say it. And it's got nothing to do with Putin riding around on a horse with no shirt. Although, you know, whatever. You have a great show. I know you will.
Thanks, Polly.
Chris Renwick, JR Afternoon, up next. Stand by for news. Go on out and make it a great rest of the day as you make each and every day count. Each day is a gift. See you tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith.